This is the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Now, with Isaiah, here's Brady Hall.
5 minutes after the hour, welcome in, welcome back in to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. One of my favorite portions of the show throughout the week is to catch up with our guy, Isaiah Stevens, thanks to the great folks at Crazy Carl's Pizza. Isaiah, my man, how you feeling, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain. How you doing?
I'm excited for this game tonight going up against Wyoming. This one always has extra juice because of, you know, just the sports hate between Colorado State and Wyoming. So this is going to be a good one. I'm excited for it. It's going to be on FS1 as well. So hopefully a lot of eyeballs will be watching this game tonight. But I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, nah, it'll be fun. These games are always super competitive. They come down to the wire a lot as of late. So these are the games we live for, man, and I know they do too, and it'll be a good one tonight.
Yeah, last time out, I mean, it was, you said it, comes down to the wire, 57-58. Wyoming gets that one, so obviously revenge is on your mind. If I remember right, Isaiah, the start of that game was just kind of a slow start. Neither team could really get it rolling. So I no doubt, I'm guessing for you guys, you're looking at saying, man, we want to get off to a hot start. We want to get this place rocking in Fort Collins tonight.
For sure. That's our goal really every time out, regardless of opponent, to get off to a high start. But I think the quicker we could get Moby Madness into it, man, I think that's to our advantage. So definitely want to go out and get rolling early. That's definitely a key.
Yeah, well, and again, you guys have three games remaining. Wyoming tonight, and then, of course, San Jose State next week, New Mexico later next week. So three games to really try to gain some of that momentum, and it starts tonight in a rivalry game for you guys. And I know Wyoming's thinking the same thing. Wyoming's kind of similar as far as, you know, they've had their share of injuries. They've had their share of sickness going on, and maybe even some, you know, there's guys transferring out and everything going on with Wyoming. So I think both of you guys just want to try to take out some aggression, play some basketball tonight. So that's why I think this could be just a fun game to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, both teams have had their fair share of ups and downs. But, you know, when it comes to a border war game, both sides are going to be ready to go. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, what does this rivalry mean to you, Isaiah? Because, you know, sometimes you hear players and they're kind of into it, or, you know, it's more like, you know, it's just another game. Is it just another game for you, or do you really circle these two games? I mean, the game, of course, a few weeks back against Wyoming, do you circle those, and do you guys talk about those and look at it and say, yeah, we want to win every game, but we darn sure want to make sure we're taking care of business against our rival?
For sure, and I think that the alumni help the players learn that over the time as well, right? Going on the road up there, they make it known. Whenever they come to Moby, our fans make it known. So it's hard to escape. And the more games you play in it, the more and more it becomes more of a sacred game. So, man, I look forward to it every year, and I'm sure that a lot of my teammates would say the same.
What is the, like, you and I have talked about teams you've played against, you know, even local teams when it's UNC or CU or something. And again, I know there's rivalry there with the Buffs as well. Do you have any kind of relationships with any of the players up north? Or is that something where it's like, no. I'm not talking to those guys.
I haven't met any of them. So even
perfect.
If I wanted to, I can't say that I know them. So, not too many guys typically have I had any interactions with in some of these rivalry instances. Maybe a little bit more with the UNC guys, just because in the summertime you start seeing them around at different open gyms and stuff. And I also have a high school teammate that plays up there, so I follow them pretty close. But besides that, I'm not too familiar with a lot of these guys.
I think Rams fans are liking that, though. They're like, good, we don't want Isaiah to be friends with any of these guys. all right, so again, just kind of looking at this conference, man, I heard something that was, you know, it was a great compliment to you guys, but also kind of a realization of where we are in the season for you guys. And again, still three games to go, still the Mountain West tournament, still a lot of basketball left in front of you. But I was watching the New Mexico Boise State game, and it was televised to a national audience. And they were talking about how good the Mountain West Conference is. And I actually really liked one of the things they said. They said, you know, the Mountain West is good when a Nico Medved team, when a CSU team is near the bottom. Now, again, I know it hurts to hear it, but at the same time, I felt like, man, that's how much you guys have earned respect over these last couple of seasons. You and what your coaching staff has done, even with David Roddy over the last couple of years. So I actually took that as a major compliment. Even on a down year, you're getting the national broadcasters like, dang, you know this conference is legit when CSU is near the bottom. How does that hit your ears when you hear something like that?
It's almost like a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
You definitely take it as a compliment because the league is in a really good spot right now. A lot of teams competing at a high level. And the bottom of the league could be anybody on any given night, and that's shown throughout the course of the year. But obviously you want to be competing near the top for championships, and that's going to forever be the goal, regardless of what the record may show. We're competing for a championship, and obviously a regular season championship is out of the picture right now, but that's why you continue to keep playing and trying to get better, because you also got the conference tournament ahead of you. So you just try to just bottle all that energy up and just put it all out there on the floor and let the rest take care of itself.
Well, and Isaiah, we've seen this, man. I mean, basketball is just one of those sports. Crazy things can happen when you get into late February and early March. We've seen teams that maybe they've had injuries and sickness and things like that. In fact, the Cowboys were one of them not too long ago, where they just couldn't get everybody on the floor together throughout the season. But then when they were able to do that and they were able to kind of click, we've seen teams make monster runs in these tournaments. So you guys got to be having those conversations of like, hey, why not us? We know we can compete. You guys beat freaking St. Mary's, and St. Mary's is one of the best teams in the country. So you guys got to be having those conversations of, heck yeah, we know we're capable of it.
Absolutely. And then when it comes to March, man, you just have to beat a better team for 40 minutes, right? And so if you can play with a certain level of desperation, discipline, and just grit, overall scrappiness, man, I feel like a lot can change within those 40 minutes, and you just go out there and leave it all out there. And that's honestly our mentality going into this final stretch.
You could almost use that, too, as this, you know, last year you guys had this big target on your back. You know, everyone was talking about how great this Rams team was, and rightfully so. I mean, you guys did historic things, but other teams knew, hey, if we can somehow beat this team or at least compete, man, that's going to look so good for us. On the opposite side of that now, maybe this is an interesting, you know, a benefit you guys can use going into this tournament and say, hey, we're going to go in. Not a lot of people are thinking we can do this thing, but we're going to use that, man. We're going to use that underdog mentality.
Oh, for sure. And in a lot of ways, I almost prefer it, just everybody counting you out, counting the team out. And you go out there and you try to show them why they should never do something like that, right?
So, yeah.
And so we just take it one game at a time, man. Obviously, can't get too far ahead of ourselves. We got Wyoming tonight, and then we'll take it one game from there on out. But it is something that we talk about as a program, something that we're trying to rally behind right now, and just give us something to go for. And why not us is the perfect way to put it.
Well, and man, you talk about this conference, and I know we can say this almost about any conference, because at this stage it does feel like teams get to know each other so well. Division I basketball players are good. So that's why, you know, Wyoming beat New Mexico a week or two ago. That's why you see that, because you guys are all like really good basketball teams, really good basketball players.
Yeah.
So you can have these upsets, and you see that. New Mexico, a really good basketball team. Wyoming found a way to beat them, and you know, by what, 14 points a few weeks ago. So anything can happen, man.
Yeah, 100%. They played really well that night too. So can't overlook anybody in the league. Can't overlook any players that you feel maybe in a slump or anything like that. You got to take everybody for what it's worth and go out there and try to execute the game plan. And that's just what I know we're really harping on and going to try to execute tonight.
7 o'clock tonight. This is going to be a big one. Again, it always is. I don't care what the records are between you guys. I'm always looking forward to these games, whether it's football, basketball, you name it. 7 o'clock tonight is going to be on FS1. Should be a great battle. And obviously going forward, if you guys can find a way to get the dub tonight, now it doesn't solve all of your problems. It doesn't make some of the adversity you guys have gone through go away. But sometimes, man, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been playing at this level for a while. When you beat a rival, it does at least heals the wounds for a moment or two. And then the fans, of course, absolutely love it. So it's certainly a positive.
Oh, 100%. Really, any win at this point in the season is just a positive and morale booster for the program. But definitely, like we said earlier, some games just naturally hold more weight to the universities, to the programs, to the history, the tradition that comes along with it. So definitely a win tonight would be huge for the Ram Nation. And so that's obviously the goal.
Isaiah, what can you tell us about this matchup? You know, when you look at Wyoming, obviously, like we talked about, they've been rocked too. They've had their share of injuries. They have a pretty darn good guard there, and Hunter Maldonado, he's been solid. He's had his stuff to deal with throughout the course of the season, not unlike yourself. They get rocked at the start with Graham Ike in that situation. But tell us about this roster and maybe some of the concerns going into tonight.
Definitely can't under. You definitely can overlook these guys, I meant to say, just because they got some guys out. They still got Maldonado, who's one of the better players in the league over the last couple of years, who's being super aggressive as of late because that's what they need from him. And then they surround him with a ton of shooters. So knowing that you got to be able to defend the paint, the drives, as well as the three-point line and beyond, is going to be a huge key to tonight's game just because they got so many guys that can contribute from behind the arc. So there's going to be something for us that we really have to execute on that end of the floor.
Yeah, and you got guys that, you know, even if they're not shooting well, you know they're going to shoot. Even against Utah State, I mean, you saw a lot of threes thrown up in that game. They weren't very efficient that night against the Aggies. They lose 65-55, but they shot 23 times from three. They only made six of them, but you know they're going to shoot them. And that's the scary thing with shooters, right, Isaiah? I mean, you know this. Shooters are going to shoot the basketball, and, you know, at some point, there's going to be those nights where they just go off. So that's obviously something you guys will be looking out for tonight.
100%. The ones that just can flush and miss right away and move on to the next shot are some of the most dangerous players. And so they got a couple guys like that on their team. And like you said, it starts with Maldonado, though. He's the engine that makes them go. And so that's going to be a big task in itself tonight for us.
Yeah, he's certainly one of those big-time players like yourself in this conference. I wanted to ask you about your guy, John Tonjay. It seems like the last couple of games, he is really starting to get confident again. And I don't know if he wasn't confident before. I'm not saying that necessarily. But it does feel like he's starting to find his shot a little bit.
Oh, 100%. He's been playing at a super high level over the past couple of weeks. And it's been just a joy to see him start to get his mojo back a little bit and just kind of say, you know what, I'm going to just go down swinging, man, and I'm going to go down being confident in my game and my abilities. And sometimes a great player like that just needs to see the ball go through a few times, and then when it rains, it pours. So it's been good to see him just stepping up, taking and making shots for us, being aggressive, not only making threes, but also just being a force in the paint as well and just staying on the attack. And then defensively, he's taking another step, and he's already one of our better defenders. And so when he's really locked in on both ends, man, special, special player for us.
You're listening to the Isaiah Stevens Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Isaiah, how much of the – obviously you watch basketball, but you're just looking at this Mountain West specifically. I mean, national talkers are dialed in on this conference, and you guys, of course, go up against San Diego State the other night. This is – the last few years, and I feel like it kind of started with you guys, this conference has risen to the top where you're talking about four or five possible bids, getting into the big dance, that – you know, without who ends up winning the tournament, too, that's got to be kind of cool to see this conference grow over the last couple of seasons. And that's kind of right around the time Colorado State started to grow and establish. So, I mean, this conference is legit, man.
100%. I tell people all the time, the Mountain West is arguably one of the toughest conferences in the country, regardless of location or anything like that. Man, there's so many good programs, so many good fan bases, even more so, that are really involved and dialed into their programs. But the one thing that I've enjoyed is just, as I've been in the conference, like you said, we continue to get more and more teams into the Big Dance. And that's the goal for, I want to say, everybody in the conference each year, is to see how many teams we can get in there. So obviously being a part of that last year was a special feeling, and it's one that I feel like I'll be able to hold on to forever, just being a part of that run.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I can't even imagine how special that was for you, for your team last season. I mean, you look at this conference, yes, San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, maybe Utah State gets in, New Mexico. You guys, of course, when you win the tournament. So, I mean, we're talking a lot of games, a lot of teams getting in to March Madness. Isaiah, how much do you pay attention to, you know, the news surrounding college sports as far as conference realignment and all of that? You know, we're hearing maybe San Diego State's looking at the Pac-12. Who knows what's going to happen to the Pac-12? Who knows what's going to happen to the Mountain West? How much of that stuff do you pay attention to, or do you at all?
It's one of those things that's, like, impossible to miss right now. It's literally everywhere, on social media, on TV. It's one of those things that I have really no idea the direction that is going, but I'll be interested to see kind of how it unravels just over the next few months to years. So just kind of seeing what schools will be paired up in certain conferences, I think would be an interesting look. But it could mess with some of those rivalries and stuff that have built up over time. So I don't know. It could be, like we said earlier, a double-edged sword with that one.
We had a writer on from Talking Wyoming, actually, the other day, who said, I don't care what happens, wherever CSU goes, I just want Wyoming to go with them. Because, you know, their fans, they hate and love the Rams. And I mean that. They love to hate you. And they want that stuff, man. And I'm sure that's what Rams fans feel, too, is we don't want to lose that rivalry.
100%. And in all sports, like, it just brings so much attention to the games, and the fan bases are incredible on both sides. But I know Ram Nation would definitely love to keep that one brewing. So I'll be devastated if that one ever split up.
Yeah. Well, and again, I was talking to Kevin Lytle from the Colorado one yesterday about this. With all of this conference realignment chat and stuff, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to help the Mountain West is if the Mountain West shows out in March Madness, and that's a big deal. If these teams that get in can go make some noise, whether that's you guys going on a historic run or San Diego State or Boise State, at the end of the day, if you as a conference whole can make some legitimate noise this March, next football season, all that stuff bodes well for the future of the Mountain West Conference.
Oh, 100%. Last year, none of the teams being able to pull away with a win, I thought it was potentially going to hurt more. And obviously the bracket hasn't come out, but just the way our league has been playing in the non-conference and conference play, it's looking likely to get four, potentially more in this year. And obviously a lot of ball left to play this year, and hopefully the wrong teams don't slip up for the conference. But it will be interesting to see, like, how many of those teams can make a run, because I think that's important just for the longevity of the NCAA tournament, looking at the Mountain West and making sure that, okay, if we let these teams in, like, how competitive is it going to be? So I think winning once you get there is going to be huge for us.
Isaiah, last one for you, man, and we'll let you get back at it, because we know we're just a few hours away from tip-off in this basketball version of the border war. What would you like to see? Obviously, you'd like to see wins in these next three games. What would you really like to see in these games? And then second part of that question is, how realistic is that momentum thing we talk about? How much does that mean if you guys are able to grab a win or two? And who knows, you know, New Mexico shows that they're beatable. If you're able to grab those wins, how realistic is that momentum thing and carrying on into the conference tournament?
Momentum is huge. I want to say at this point is really everything. Teams start getting tired. Teams start maybe becoming a little bit more disjointed, fatigued, all that different stuff. And if you could just build some momentum and stay in it mentally and physically, man, I think that's the difference between winning and losing at this point in the season.
Yeah, man, go do something special tonight. I know you will. We're looking forward to see if the rest of this team will, of course, have a big night against Wyoming. Start setting yourself up for a potential historic run in the Mountain West Conference, man. We'll be here for it. We'll be rooting for you guys tonight. Good luck to you, my friend. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, my man.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah.
All right, there he is, the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. I didn't ask him, Angel. I didn't ask him yet. I'm waiting until it's all done. I'll ask him. I'll ask him. Don't worry about, you know, next year and stuff. 25 minutes after the hour. That was the Isaiah Stevens Show, presented by our great partner in Crazy Carl's Pizza, making these programs rock every single year now. We'll take a short break. When we come back, let's talk more Denver Nuggets on the other side and the MVP race, more on the Broncos, the news coming out from Russell Wilson's camp, not his camp, but the Athletics camp, and we'll get to all that and more on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Durant has no issue with any All-Stars getting picked last. The way they're doing this stupid thing now. He said, it's like the brokest millionaire getting picked last. Well, Joker's not the brokest millionaire. He's, in fact, the top three highest paid players in the NBA. I know he didn't get picked last technically, but it sure felt like he did.
It's last for a team.
Yeah. It was...
He didn't really get picked. He kind of just... walked up there and said,
He thought he was the last one. That's why. He's like, I didn't know there was anybody else left, so I just walked up there.
Can do what he wants.
Do whatever he wants. Going to be the three-time MVP. Is there any shot Joel Embiid steals this thing from underneath him? I mean, he was killing it in the straw poll, even well after the Nuggets-Sixers game. That was right before the All-Star break. He got like 70 of 100 votes.
I saw a straw poll yesterday during the game that Jokic was leading in first and second place votes, still over Giannis and Embiid.
And Giannis, according to the MVP watch, the Kia MVP watch, is Giannis is second. Now, that was before last night's game, which apparently has the four-letter network just flipping the hell out about Joel Embiid. But look at his efficiency. I'm sorry, but that's something that we should be looking at here. Just... throwing. I mean, he shot a lot last night. And Joker was 8 of 13 with 24. Almost as if he was way more efficient than Joel Embiid and almost as many points. So it is, those are stats you have to start looking at. If one guy is just firing it off all the time and the other guy is getting his teammates involved, but also scoring just about as many, that's what you have to look at. And where they are in the standings.
Yeah, that's all important factors. Realistically, I don't see anything that Embiid could do in the last 20 or so games that would make this race even competitive, because Jokic is walking away with it.
Seems like he is.
He is riding a horse chariot away.
They don't want to, the national media just doesn't want to admit it. And the All-Star game just kind of fueled that fire again. Oh,
they're saving
it. He didn't get picked first.
They won't get on it, so that when he does win it, they can say, oh, the MVP doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a regular season award.
Yeah, it should be a playoffs award. They'll wait and see if the Nuggets get eliminated somewhat early, and then they'll go in and say, well, it should be a playoffs award. The thing of it is, Joker was the MVP last year on a team that wasn't very good. Without Joker, they just weren't very good. No Jamal Murray, no MPJ, not the 22-23 version of Aaron Gordon, no KCP, no Bruce Brown. They didn't have this good of a team last year. So you had Nikola Jokic dragging this team into the playoffs. So he gets the MVP because of that and historic numbers. This year, his team's much better, but he is still leading. He is still getting triple-doubles, involving all of these weapons, and they're the best team. They're one of the best teams in the league. They're a half a game behind the Boston Celtics as far as being atop the NBA. So some people have said, well, Brady, last year your argument was he's on a bad team and he's the best and he's dragging forward. Well, this year your argument is that they're a great team and he should be MVP. It works differently depending on how you look at it every single year.
There's context to it.
Heck, man, we jokingly but kind of seriously talked about Peyton Manning being the MVP the year he was hurt for the Colts because they only won two games, but he didn't play. And you just said, well, look how value. They were an 11-12 win team before that, going to the playoffs and all that stuff. He's out. They only win two. We joked about it and said, yeah, Manning should probably be the MVP this year because that's how bad the Colts are without him. That it depends on the season. And every year, Kevin Durant said this last year. The only reason he thinks a guy should get a repeat MVP or whatever is if he does something just as great the next year. Well, last year he did 2,000, 1,500, and he drags a mediocre team into the playoffs. This year, he's averaging a triple-double. That's one of the things that he's doing. His efficiency is off the charts. So, and they're the best team in the league. So wouldn't that constitute as something greater than the year before? They go from middle-of-the-road team last year to a middle-of-the-road playoff team last year to the best team in the league, and he's averaging a triple-double. Just goes to show you what he can do with all these weapons. He's like a great quarterback. If you have a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, I need good players. I don't necessarily need great players, and then I can work with that because I'm the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill still found a way to win a Super Bowl. You start adding weapons to these quarterbacks, and they can do a lot of things. Joker has his weapons now, and he's averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, it's a credit to the team. He makes the Nuggets a better team. And the last 2 years even, he could only do so much. He had to put up the 35 points a game, the 12 rebounds, the 10-plus assists every game. He was almost forcing triple-doubles because he knew that's how this team is going to grow. When our guys come back, he laid the groundwork really the last couple of years with how this offense looks now. It's passing, it's moving, it's cutting, it's getting the entire team involved, and you see it bleeds into the bench, and everyone can be successful.
But Joker knows that. He was 8 of 13 last night, Angel. 24 points. This guy, we talked about it, he can score at will. He could easily be shooting at the clip Joel Embiid is shooting. Joel Embiid shot it 25 times, 12 more times than Nikola Jokic shot the basketball last night and had just about as many points. Joker can do those things easily. He can easily get 30 points, but he knows in order to win more basketball games, getting KCP involved, getting Jamal Murray rolling so he can set him up for a Murray flurry kind of deal. He knows that that is going to pay off down the stretch. If you have a hot player that's feeling it, those guys are going to pay you back in the end of the game by hitting shots. He could easily fire it 25 times and score 30 plus every single night. He just chooses not to. That's how good he is. But the national media just does not want to recognize that. 13 shots and he had 24 points.
It's not sexy basketball. But if you're a basketball fan and just appreciative of the sport, you watch Jokic, and it's the best you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because he's doing stuff that is, he's almost unstoppable. Like, okay, he's going to post up in the paint. He's going to make a little move. Oh, there's a pass
just
wide
so
open.
Just so quick. And it's just so quick.
He sees the court and the action two times faster than you do.
And he's a math magician because he, instead of getting two, he knows that if I back down, act like I'm a shot, pop, there's three instead. That's just, I don't know what else we can say. He's probably going to get it. It's just the talk around it is, how can a guy that's already won it twice and be so obvious the MVP this year still just not have a good chunk of the national media really behind that? It blows my mind. Is it purely because he doesn't play above the rim? Or is it because he doesn't do social media? Because he doesn't joke around like, I mean, jokes around, but he doesn't mess around like the rest of the guys did at the NBA All-Star Weekend?
Well, it's interesting. Like, the last person to go back-to-back was Giannis, and we almost never include him in the MVP conversation anymore. He's top three for sure, but it's always, oh, it's Jokic or Embiid. What about Giannis?
Giannis
is arguably the second best player in the league.
He's averaging 32 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game. I mean, those are big-time numbers. Joel Embiid is at 33, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists. So his numbers are very similar to Giannis. Like, those two guys are in that conversation. But it's funny because it's just like Joel Embiid continues to pass. Is that because he's campaigning for it? Because he has. He does campaign for it.
Yeah, and I think the Philly fan base is very open about it. They maybe feel that he got cheated the last couple of years. That's your opinion, but you can't stop Jokic. Like, he is doing things on a night-in, night-out basis where we continue to just get surprised by it.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
No, it really is, man. Our poll question today is, would you support an XFL team in the state of Colorado? Eastside Chris says, I would support a Colorado XFL team, but it would depend on the mascot. Needs to be strongly named and match my sportswear attire. Something like the Colorado Beef. Would appreciate your input. I'm going to go something. You got to go something mountainous, don't you, for Colorado?
I thought of the Snow Wolves.
Oh, that's cool.
We just got the wolves back into Colorado. They're snow
wolves. But then that would be political, and people would want to argue about that.
Oh, well. If you want to do that, we could just do the Colorado Prairie Dogs.
The Colorado, I mean, you got the Denver Nuggets, and their mascot's a mountain lion. Gold, mountains, mountain lion, okay. Rockies is a dinosaur because they found a Triceratops fossil where the home plate is, I think. That's where they found it. So that actually makes sense.
No, people dinger slander.
Dinosaurs
here.
In Colorado. Well, there's no dinosaurs anywhere. They were in Colorado.
And dinger is one of a kind.
Dinger gets a bad rap.
He does.
Because people are like, why is it a dinosaur? It doesn't make any sense. There were dinosaurs here. Why are the Toronto Raptors the Raptors? There's no Raptors in Toronto today. But there were probably in Toronto at some point, Raptors running around doing crazy things.
Who wins in a fight? Dinger or Barney? Big purple dinosaurs.
I mean, Dinger just looks like Barney, but just as a Triceratops, just with that thing back there. I don't know, man. Barney, all those years of pent-up aggression, having to deal with little kids and sing to them all the time, he's probably got some anger issues.
Yeah.
So probably Barney. I'm going to go Barney. 12:42 the time. We'll think about that. What would be a good mascot for a Colorado XFL team? Let's get the latest in the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
We've had some cold nights this week, man, and it just makes me happy when I can get into my house and know that it's just warm and toasty. I'm glad I'm not dealing with like, oh, why is this room so cold in here? What's happening? But if you're one of those people, you got to contact Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll take care of you guys. Free estimates are available. Maybe you've had some issues with the heater. Maybe you think back into the summer months and the air conditioner wasn't rolling. We're not that far away from a changing of the season. Lemons Heating and Cooling will handle your air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning. 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. I tweeted it out to see what would be some good ideas for a Colorado XFL team as far as a mascot is concerned or names. And what did you say? Something leafy? What'd you have?
The green leaves. Play to a certain demographic.
Yeah. Well, like Seattle goes with the Sea Dragons because, you know.
There's an ocean right there.
There's an ocean there, and there could be dragons in it, potentially.
Very possible.
I would lean on, okay, so you got the Broncos, you got the Nuggets, the Rockies, the Avalanche. Definitely going with a mountain scene for the most part.
Outdoorsy, nature.
So it's got to be something outdoorsy. Rick says the 14ers, Mountain Monsters, Mile High Monsters, Mountain Lions, Raging Rams, Sasquatches.
I like that.
Abdominable. Snowman. I like the Sasquatch thing. That's cool.
I like the 14ers.
14ers?
It'll play off the Niners or the 76ers.
Colorado 14ers. 5280ers. Does that sound good?
It's hard to do mile high because it's, you know, it's associated with something else.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very true. You don't want to do that. I need suggestions for what a good name would be. Texter from the 970, nearly 2 points per shot is nuts, talking about the Joker. I think we're at a point where too much exposure might be leading the media to take Joker for granted. John Sears texting in.
It's fair.
Maybe. Dixon, if Colorado gets an XFL team, would they be the best professional football team in the state? Oh. Well, they would have a clean record if they started, so. No, they wouldn't be. The Colorado High Rollers?
High. Get it? Because of drugs.
Because of skiing? The skier, like Aspen, the high school team that played Eaton last night, they're the Aspen Skiers.
Hmm. The Shredders.
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 Shred some snow. The Colorado Snow. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Colorado Snow.
I think that could work.
They had the Colorado Ice here. That didn't work out very well. That's the stuff that's going to require a lot of brain power on this Friday. Keep them coming. I want to read them. 12:49 the time. Let's take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number two. Brian Howell still to come. I got to talk about spring ticket sales, the spring game ticket sales for the Buffs. And we'll just we'll talk about primetime a little bit with Brian from Buff Zone. Also more on the Broncos coaching staff and this Russell Wilson thing. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Mr. Crowley, what they've got in your head?
Oh, Mr. Crowley. We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA. All right!
Cable's Pub and Grill, always coming up with some kind of special for you. Today on a Friday, they do the chef's choice. So always a special deal there and a kind of a surprise for you. For Saturday, house margaritas, $4. You know, with the cold weather, beautiful spot to sit and sit by their fireplace, kind of on the back part of Cable's, or up at the bar watching TV, watching the big game, or just relaxing, maybe even getting some work done. There's different chunks of space where you can hang out, and maybe there's spots where you just want to go, you grab a beer in the afternoon, and you're eating something by yourself, getting some work done on a Friday afternoon, where you want to get the fellas together, the gals together, out for a great time at Cable's. It's the perfect spot. It's where my friends meet. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Give me some more suggestions for an XFL team if Colorado was ever to get one. Because I've been impressed so far. Over the weekend was all right, but for some reason, Thursday night, from what I got to watch, I was kind of in on it. I was kind of getting into the game. So I don't know if it'll hold my attention. I really don't. But for now, it's better than I thought it was going to be. Much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I think the partnership with ESPN has really allowed them to get the name out there more. I think guys like AJ McCarron and other, you know, when you turn on the game and you hear somebody's name, say, I remember that guy, or hey, he was on our practice squad a couple years ago. It's nice to see them still out there, and it's about that opportunity to just to play. For some of these guys, it's, I want to go back to the NFL. Others, it's, I just want to play football.
Yeah. No, you're right. Some of the names you'll hear and you go, oh, yeah, where didn't he play for? So that's kind of fun. Dixon throwing out a name, Colorado Danger. It's not bad. Not a bad one. Or Colorado Endangered, because there might be some endangered species in
Colorado Wildfire.
That
one's a little tough.
That one might be tough. That one and your Wolves one, which I love the
Snow
name.
Wolves.
But you're going to get people going, should have never introduced them into this. And again, I'm not really making fun of that because I totally get why there's issues there. Wolves happen to be like my favorite animal, but I also hate them for our farmers and ranchers in the area. So it's crazy, man. Russ could be the mascot, Dixon says. Russ could be the mascot. No respect here. Dixon is stand-up comedy today. Russ would just try to get everybody fired. He'd just try to get whoever our head coach is, which would probably be like, well, Wade Phillips is already coaching.
Ed McCaffrey.
Ooh. Ooh. I got a connection to make at the start of the second hour, the third hour, between what Ed McCaffrey did, you know, building his coaching staff, and what Nathaniel Hackett did, and what Sean Payton is doing. So I want to talk about that coming up on the other side. So I'm glad you brought that up. You reminded me. Thank you, Angel. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.